you so much for taking the time to come on the show today and to share some of the information that you are channeling, as always, from the Ascended Masters, the angels, and wherever you get it.
Thank you, CA. It's great to be here in the lovely month of February.
Yes, and I hope you had a wonderful birthday. I, you know, always think in some ways February is just devoted to you. You know, it's your birthday month. And so I just hope that you've been having lots of great celebrations. Which reminds me, we probably shouldn't be doing this on the air, but I meant to mention it to you because both you and I have Sagittarian risings, right? And so
the other night,
I don't know, I got a bee in my bonnet. And I thought, you know, did I ever put those on the calendar? I better be looking that up before it kind of sneaks up on me. And sure enough, I realized on February 23rd, Jupiter is going to go over your ascendant. Now, I may have given you that date before, but for those of you listening, by the way, the reason this is exciting is because anytime something goes over our ascendant, you know, that ascendant to me is the meet and greet. You know, it's a face that we put on for people. And so when something goes over the ascendant, you know, it's big stuff. I mean, it's sometimes the way we want to recreate our lives. Maybe we're seeing ourselves differently. Maybe we want to step into a new role. And Jupiter is the planet of expansion. It goes over the ascendant every 12 years. So I think that's a pretty exciting cycle. I mean, I may not love Jupiter maybe as much as I like Saturn and some of the others. You know, I'm kind of dire that way, but I like Jupiter going over my ascendant. And Anita and I literally, we weren't born anywhere really close to each other other than I'm a Pisces and she's an Aquarian, but we do have some similarities in our charts. And one of those things is that my ascendant is 20 degrees something and yours is 21. So literally within days of each other is when Jupiter goes over the ascendant. So I'm like, oh, I got to look this up. I got to let Anita know. But also,
so what's going to happen? Go ahead.
All good stuff, Anita. All good stuff on the 23rd of February. But actually, let me back off that a little bit and say, many of you know who listen to the show, planets from our perspective here on Earth look like they're moving backwards or retrograde. Well, Jupiter goes retrograde maybe 4 or 5 months per year. So it will retrograde and then go back over your ascendant, Anita, and go back into the 12th house. And then it's not in the first house for good, you know, for about a year period until October 20th. But I do think it's still true that the cycle really starts on February 23rd when Jupiter first goes over that ascendant. But when it goes back into the 12th house, and it's going to do the same thing for me, I feel like whenever Jupiter or other planets, in fact, are sitting in the 12th house, it feels to me like we're really doing some major clutter clearing in our life. We're kind of trying to connect the dots, put things together, but we're getting ready to be reborn. You know, go through that recreation process when the planet moves into the first. So I think for both you and I this year, I mean, I think we have been going through that clutter clearing, whether it's psychological, whether it, you know, it manifests in multiple areas of our lives. But I think we're also now going to be going through that rebirth, having Jupiter move into the first house. So we'll have some shared experiences for sure. But I think a lot of opportunities are going to start coming to us. Like I said, this is a 12-year cycle, and one of the things that Carolyn W. Casey, an astrologer, says about Jupiter is wherever it was 12 years ago, you weren't ready. I mean, you may have had some ideas, or maybe you saw some things on the horizon, but you may not have been ready for them. Now you've had 12 years of experience. So both of us can kind of look at how do we present ourselves in the world. Maybe we need to do makeovers. You know, I know one thing for sure. I'm working on my website. So, you know, and Lord knows, I mean, that's been like 12 years in coming. In fact, maybe that is one of the 12-year marks is I'm finally going to get that to go live instead of continuing to just revise it and revise it and revise it. So maybe that's one of the ways that I'm officially going to put myself out there in the world. So think about it that way. And we'll have more conversations. But I thought, don't forget to tell her, CA. Don't forget to tell her because it's coming up February 23rd. Jupiter goes over your ascendant.
That.
Yes.
that's okay. Just not too far off here. So, yeah. Okay.
Well, I don't want to hijack all of your time talking about Jupiter going over your ascendant. And so everybody, though, stay tuned, because we'll probably be talking about that a little bit more. And maybe we'll have some shared experiences to talk about as Jupiter moves through our first houses together, Anita. But what's been going on for you? What are, you know, what would you like to talk about today? And I'm sure you have some great ideas to share.
Well, I do. Well, I don't know that I'd say they're great, but I do have some ideas to share about the current energies on the planet. I will tell you, when I started to tune in for messages for the show, I was immediately greeted by a beautiful being who looked like a mermaid, and she was dressed in a very sparkly blue gown. And it was just a really nice surprise to be so pleasantly greeted by this being who I just kept calling her mermaid, because truly that is the image that she represented. And she is the one who took me through and guided me through many of these messages that I'm going to share with you. So I just want you to picture this beautiful mermaid wearing this blue gown that's sparkling. It's got glitter all over it. And she, of course, started talking about the energy of water in all aspects. And that's what this time period is about. It's about cleansing, healing the oceans, Mother Earth. Mother Earth is healing itself and rebooting and recharging itself. She's wanting us to know, with all the talk about climate change and how we're not taking care of the planet, that Mother Earth and the elemental realm is working on their ideas. They're working on their own. They don't need, you know, certain political figures or governmental bodies to cooperate. They can handle some things on their own too, CA. So they are really doing a big reboot and recharge for the for Mother Earth. She also was talking about water in the sense of showers of wisdom and showers of direction. And she used the phrase coming offshore. And right now it's about having the courage to walk the path before us, even if it's a redirection, and to make courage your home. She asked us to picture a piano on the beach and sitting there and playing the piano and just soaking up the energy of the water as much as we can, to have fun in the water and to use things like genuine sea salts and bubble baths. And just, it's all about water right now. I can't emphasize that enough. We're also being told not to give up hope and to know that there are many routes to the same destination. Don't let people cram things down your throat. Perhaps this is a message regarding the political environment. Crashing, there's going to be some sort of a crashing, screeching halt towards the end of March. And I didn't get much more data on that, other than I have committed that sentence to memory to pay attention to the end of March. Donkeys and camels are symbolic of taking your time and not rushing things, to appreciate the beauty of the moment, even in trying times. The starfish is like gold, like a diamond. It gives us strength. And if you look at the starfish, if you can just picture the image of the starfish before you, picture the middle of the starfish as a third eye. And the message from the starfish is about sacred simplicity. There's going to be thoughts and discussions about the shadow side. These may come up, and we're being told, don't doubt, don't fear, just release what you feel you're ready to release, and don't let people or words intimidate you. Embrace exactly what you are at this moment and form your own opinions. Pink is a beautiful color, which to me seems obvious because it's February, and it's the vibration of pure love, as is rose quartz. This is a good time to cleanse and purify the home and work environments. Gnomes definitely came up in the messages, and as many of our listeners know, gnomes are elementals. They have a special connection to the earth. with earthly grounding, stability, protection. They help to keep Mother Earth stable. They work underground, and they safeguard. They're guardians of the gardens, of the earth, of its creatures, and they help prevent problems. They also represent inner feelings and childhood fantasies. The idea here is to love them and to enjoy them. They are also bringers of good fortune and good luck. And I would encourage everyone to put one or some gnomes in your garden if you haven't already. And it's kind of like a pre-spring ritual. The thought for the current time period is surprise yourself, bless yourself, go deep, explore the depth of your core, of your being. The energy is ripe for magic and alchemy. And think of Esmeralda and Abracadabra as some theme words for the month. Be confident in your thoughts and abilities. Archangel Raphael is talking about new creations and efforts to combat disease. We're going to hear about this. Raphael is also asking us to eat beets. And sometimes you might feel like you're crumbling. It's okay, because the crumbs can be molded into a new cookie. Don't ask me why I chose cookie. I just did. The beetle is also coming up as a symbol of change and regeneration. I want people to understand, stay away from drama, be practical, and stay in your integrity. The energy of horses and the goddess Epona are coming up. Please appreciate the horses and explore their beauty. Don't be afraid to party or to celebrate or to love. Think twice before pouring out your heart. Be discreet and confide in the safe people. Truth is your anchor. Explore other realms and forms of spirituality. The name Bruce means something. Pay attention to your dreams. Engage in yoga. Explore and travel. College degrees are a positive goal. Mother Mary is coming through, and I actually chose a card from a Mother Mary deck that I have that was written by Alana Fairchild, and the card that came up for us this month is Our Lady of Comfort. So I just want to share a brief message about that card, and this is a message from Mother Mary. She says, "Even though you may not see me, I am holding your hand. Even though you may not hear me, I am speaking through your heart. I am never far away from you. I am by your side with love, guidance, and protection, always. You are my own. I could not bear to be apart from you. Receive my message of comfort and peace now." So that's a beautiful, comforting message from Mother Mary. The goddess Athena is also coming through, and she was just very short and firm. The path is before you. All you have to do is walk. And my final closing message is that there is so much divine love for us and access to guidance that it makes me cry. It is all around us. Use it. And those are my messages, CA.
Well, as usual, I'm just like going, wow. I mean, but I'm really saying wow. And there were a couple of things I wanted to clarify. Did you say Bruce means something?
Yes, the name Bruce. The name Bruce. I don't know why it came up, but it did.
Okay,
what's
funny?
Means something.
It means something to me. It's a person who's helping me with my website. Can you believe that?
Excuse me. Okay.
Well, oh, my God. I cannot believe you said that.
Well, okay, so I'm sure there's more than one Bruce on the planet, but
yes,
I'm sure that it means something to you. Yeah.
Well,
very good.
Now,
very
here's
good.
The other thing. I mean, there were many, many things that struck me. One thing I have to also clarify, did you say Esmeralda?
Mm-hmm. You know, when we think of magic and alchemy and that whole mystical world of, like, crystal balls, and, well, Esmeralda is a name that comes up often, you know, in that realm. And so I was hearing Esmeralda and Abracadabra.
Okay.
You know, well, about creating magic. Yeah.
Okay. Here's what's funny. Esmeralda is the name of my car.
You have a name for your car?
Uh-huh. Don't you?
yeah, it's called Honda.
Well, okay. My car is a 1999. I hang on to my cars for a long time. And yes,
I love that.
I do name my cars. And what's kind of funny is the way she got her name is when I got her, I always say her, I guess because her name's Esmeralda. But in any case, I said, what is your name? You know what? We need to have a name for you. And I just heard it. I just heard it in my head. And I'm not sure I even knew what it meant. So I did go and look it up on the internet, and it turns out it was associated, it might be one of the witches or the fairy godmothers in a Disney show, but it also has some other either mythological or character, like, I can't remember mm-hmm. now. It might be somebody like in the Hunchback of Notre Dame. But in any case, I knew, well, you undoubtedly had heard it somewhere. But here's what's really funny. The day that I heard that in my head, I was going to the Colorado Ballet, and they do occasionally something that's kind of a patron's evening, and they do short pieces, not the whole thing, but they just do short pieces of different ballets. Well, when they came out and made the announcement, they said, this is what we're going to do tonight. One of them had a character named Esmeralda. And so when I heard that the very night, and by the way, I didn't get any literature or anything from them that would have indicated to me what they were going to do. So I knew that that was the confirmation that I was looking for. That was mm-hmm, absolutely mm-hmm. the confirmation I was looking for. But here's the one that was kind of blowing me away. You said the Beetle, right?
Yes, the Beetle. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I have to tell you a story. Some of you who are listening today, you might have heard this story. I told it last week on Kelly Whetstone's show, but that's the only time I've told it. About 2 weeks ago, we had a winter snowstorm here in Colorado, and I had gone out, even in the midst of it still blizzarding, because I was concerned that if I didn't go out and get some of the snow off the walk, that it was just going to be way too heavy. So I'm out there all bundled up with my snow shovel, and I've shoveled the walk, and now I'm shoveling the snow that leads from the walk to my house. And I get to the steps, and I shovel off, you know, a scoop full of snow. And there in the snow, I see this tiny red spot, and it was bright red. And I thought, well, here's the thing. I thought my nose was bleeding. Because I'm in the middle of a snowstorm. I mean, what is bright red on the step? So I reach up because oh my God, my nose is bleeding. But I reach up and there's no blood. So then I'm like, okay, well, what the heck is that? And so mm-hmm. I get down really low and I scoop it up and it's a ladybug.
And really?
A ladybug. Now, I mean, I am like I'm like in shock going, okay, this is out of
Lady luck.
So yes. I bring her in the house because I assume she's frozen, but I don't know. But she's not been flying around in a snowstorm, I was assuming. But anyway, I mean, I've never seen a ladybug in the winter in Colorado. So I bring it in and I put her on a potted plant. I had brought in a fairly good-sized rosemary in the fall, you know, trying to, you know, winter it over in the house. And usually that works. I can usually keep a rosemary for, you know, maybe 10 years doing that. So this one I had, mm-hmm. you know, dug it up, put it in a pot and brought it in. So I put her in the pot with the rosemary. But of course she was just laying there. And like I said, I thought, well, it's probably dead. I don't know where it came from or why it suddenly appeared on the steps, but I will deal with that later. So I went back out, finished mm-hmm. my snow shoveling. And when I came back in, she was moving around. She was walking around.
Aww.
And I was just like,
I love that.
I know, but you know, Anita, I don't know that much about ladybugs or beetles. I think she is a kind of beetle. I don't know that much about her. I just have to assume that she was in hibernation somewhere and somehow uh-huh. got on the step. How that happened, I have no idea. I know it's not a mistake that I found her. So I would also say, as I told Kelly's audience as well, if this means something to you, then take it. Because I do, mm-hmm. I knew at the time, I was just like, I just had, you know, pins and needles. I'm like, oh my God, this is something really important. This is spectacular. that this ladybug would be laying on this step. So I had to tell you because you said the beetle is important. And by the way, I had decided that the next morning I would have a conversation with her and just tell her, do you want to go back outside? You know, should I go find a tree or a plant and put you someplace outside? Although I would assume that would be certain death. But like I said, she was alive out there. Well, I haven't been able to see her since. I don't know where she is. So it's a good sized plant though. So I wonder if she's burrowed under the soil. Is what I'm wondering.
It's a possibility, yeah. And she may come out later.
She might come out later. Or she's flying around the house somewhere. I don't know which.
Yeah. Well, maybe hibernating, you know, recovering from the...
from the snowstorm.
The frostbite. So,
because
so stay tuned on that.
You know, I was thinking, it is nature, and I thought maybe I shouldn't have brought her inside. But I just couldn't leave her laying there in the snow.
No, don't go down that path. I would just, I mean, it's so remarkable that as you're, you know, taking care of the snow, you see a ladybug. I mean, that's, you know, pretty remarkable, CA. So,
well, I think it is, too. And now you're talking about beetles.
Yes, I was surprised that the beetle came in the reading, but it did. So there you have it.
Pretty amazing. Well, and here's one other little synchronicity. I was looking at some... you know, short sleeve shirts for spring online. And one of the colors was mermaid green. And I thought that was kind of a funny, I mean, it was one of these things. I'm like, okay, the other titles were just kind of, you know, typical, you know, sea blue, light blue, you know, blush pink, and then mermaid green. I'm like, who came up with that? I mean, it was just kind of funny. I just noticed it, and it just happened today. So there's a little synchronicity with that, too. And, of course.
Well, and one second. The mermaid energy is very powerful and very strong right now. Go ahead, CA.
And I love the fact that you were talking about all the water, because we are definitely in some huge astrological water, especially this week and going forward for the next few months, because we not only are entering the cycle of, you know, the sun in Pisces, which is the last sign of the zodiac and probably the most water of all the water signs because it represents the ocean. I mean, it is all water. All the water leads to Pisces, so to speak. So that's a huge thing. But what makes it very powerful in 2019 are two things. One, that Neptune, the ruler of Pisces, is about halfway through a 14-year cycle in Pisces. So whenever we hit something Pisces, it's pretty important because Neptune is sitting there. But the other thing is that Mercury recently moved into Pisces, and Mercury usually spends just 2 or 3 weeks in a sign. But in the middle, not the middle, probably around the 6th of March, Mercury is going to go retrograde. And because it's going to go retrograde, it's going to be in Pisces all this time forward until the middle of April, because it will retrograde in Pisces, stay in Pisces, then go direct again. So we've got water, 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 water. In terms, I mean, that's how I'm seeing it astrologically. I know there's other energy. We've got a lot of earth energy as well. But we've got an abundance of water, which, as you had brought up, was cleansing. It's healing. It's also so much about identifying with our emotions, identifying with our feelings, and also identifying with our intuition, that sixth sense. If anybody's sitting out there and wondering, is this a good time for me to be looking into healing, alternative healing, looking into developing my psychic abilities, or really looking at my intuition, becoming a medium, doing any of those things, the answer is a big yes. It is the time to do that. Mercury, the planet of thinking and communication, sitting in a totally water-sensitive, intuitive sign. So it is very, very much about water right now.
Well, it's certainly going to be a very interesting time. That's how it feels.
Yep, so I loved all of that, too. Let's see. Oh, the piano on the beach. Now, that's an intriguing idea.
I love that image, you know, sitting out on the piano, on the bench of the piano playing music and listening to the surf and just feeling that sea breeze across your face. And it just, I mean, that's just a beautiful feeling.
Yeah, but no, where do you think that came from? And it, maybe that's a silly question, but yeah, that's quite the ingenious image, a piano on a beach.
Well, it you know how it is, CA, when you channel your messages, things just pop up.
Yeah, they do.
And
that's what I'm
up.
Saying. The minute
yeah.
I ask you, I thought, why would you ask her that? Because I'm intrigued. I'm just like, where did that come from? Just like the ladybug, where
I
did
love
it
that.
Come from?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And except the ladybug is much smaller than a piano.
Yes. And one other thing, did you say donkeys and camels? Is that what you said?
I did. Donkeys
okay.
and camels.
Because
yeah.
I love camels. They're one of my favorites.
It's all about just, you know, going at a slow pace. Don't rush things. Just take things in stride. It's okay. Don't
yes.
need to rush it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, and camel energy is always associated, for those who are interested, in the priestess in the tarot deck. Those are
okay.
always, yeah, those are symbols of each other. The camel is always associated
wow.
with her. Well, I think,
well,
and I'm trying to remember thing. Exactly where that, I mean, there's a number of reasons that that's true, but one of them certainly is that idea of self-sufficiency.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the priestess is self-sufficient. She listens to information.
Sure.
She gathers information from all sides, and she's self-sufficient. So that's part of the camel energy. I also
awesome.
Loved... The well, just when you were also saying, don't let people intimidate you, form your own opinions. Because in the season of Pisces, one of the things that is that Pisces really is the psychic sponge. And that is a, you know, that's not a very attractive thing to say. But what it refers to is that Pisces is really sensitive to the energy of their surroundings, to other people, and soak it all up sometimes without even knowing that they're doing it. And I think especially mm-hmm. with Mercury and the Sun both being in Pisces over the next month or so, that's kind of some of the things that are going to happen. We may find ourselves really being swayed and then kind of look up and go, how did I get here? How did that happen? And realize that that's it. We've been soaking up other people's opinions. We've been soaking up other people's vibrations, which is perfectly okay. But just being aware that Pisces as water, in the same way that like water will absorb sugar, it will absorb salt,
mm-hmm.
it will absorb whatever it comes in contact with, really. Pisces does the same thing. And I don't think we need to guard against it. We just need to be aware of it.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Yeah,
I would agree with you, CA, for sure.
Yep. And pink, love pink. You said it was a vibration of pink. Well, I do love pink.
No, I'm not laughing at that. I just thought, well, I mean, it is February. It's the month of Valentine's Day. And, you know, pink would, it just makes so much sense. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Well, and the gnomes, I thought that was kind of cute, too. I don't have any garden gnomes.
Right. Yeah, those
I do
are,
think
they're fun.
Yeah, they are. They're very
yeah.
fun. I'm wondering
and
my
very
dogs
grounding.
Would do if I did that.
Well, that could be interesting as well.
Yeah, I
There's
could
one
see
way
them
to find
barking
out.
At them. Yeah, I could see them barking
yeah.
at them. Yeah.
It would be kind of a game for them at first. They'll get used to it, but at first it'll be, you know, a little game for them.
Yes, it would be. Well, and if they were small enough, but they, I think they might look at it like a small child, depending on how big it was. They might go, what the heck?
Mm-hmm.
But once they realize
well, you
that
could
it
get
was
a few
inanimate, you know?
Yeah, but you could get a few different ones, like different sizes, like a big
mm-hmm.
one and then a smaller one and then a baby one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's that, a trio.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, dogs are funny that way, at least mine are. And I have a border collie and a husky. But every once in a while,
yeah.
like, they'll see something strange, you know, and it can just be like somebody dropped a jacket or a paper bag,
right.
and they go up to it with caution, like, what is this? It's not supposed
mm-hmm.
to be here. What is it doing on the lawn, or what is it doing on the path? And sometimes I'm like, guys, you know, don't be such a silly. It's just somebody dropped something, or, you know, the wind just caught it and blew it across, but they have to go examine it and check it all out. So I can really see them doing the same thing if I put a garden gnome outside.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, well, now, you'll have to take a video when you do that.
Oh, so. I will do that if I get a garden gnome. Okay, now, did you say eat beef?
Beets, B-E-E-T-S.
Thank you.
Beets,
okay.
The vegetable. The
All
vegetable,
right.
Yeah.
I thought you said beef, and I thought, well, I mean, if you channeled it, you channeled it. Okay, great.
No. Eat beets. The vegetable beets.
Yes.
There's something very, I don't know much about the nutritional value of beets, but it feels like it's a super vegetable or something.
Well, I
There's
think
something...
it is, and it's so grounding. See, I always think because they grow under the earth, they're one of those foods that just seems like they're so grounding to eat them. And they're certainly colorful.
It's a great way to get an instant boost of energy. That's how it feels to me. So
nice.
Put it in your salad.
Yeah.
You can do all kinds of things with beets. You really can. So.
Yes. Okay. Well, and of course, I love the messages from Mother Mary, you know, Our Lady of Comfort. That was really nice. And from the goddess Athena, I think you said, the path is before you. All you have to do is walk.
Yeah, she was very short and to the point.
Yep. I love it. So, yeah, I'm thrilled with these messages, but I'm also just kind of blown away because I felt like so many of them I resonated with automatically. Whoa.
Well, I love hearing that. Yeah, it's really nice that they did resonate, and I hope for the listeners they'll, you know, benefit from these as well. But I really mean what I said at the end of my sharing, which is there is so much divine love and wisdom that's available to us that if we would just open our hearts and minds to it totally and believe it, it's so simple, CA. It's right there. It's for us. We deserve it. And just, you know, make use of it. Have fun with it. Enjoy it. You know, it's here to help us on our human journey. And why would you not want to use it, right? Mm-hmm. Why would you not want to access it or have it in your life? So that's my soapbox today. So.
Okay. Well, and, you know, as we close, you know, I'm going to go back to the ladybug for a minute and, you know, it kind of along the same lines, the minute I realized that it was a ladybug, I just knew something really magical was happening. And more and more, I feel like those kind of situations are happening where something crosses my path and I instantly know it may or may not be a message for me, but it's somebody that I'm going to come in contact with. It's a message for them. And that has just been happening more and more. And so, especially in this season where things are so intuitive, when we're really opening up to something just on a completely different plane, you know, just be open to it. Even if you don't quite understand what it means, even if it doesn't seem logical or rational, you know, a lot of this information isn't necessarily rational or reasonable. And when I say reasonable, just like, you know, if you were trying to put all the pieces together in a very logical fashion, you're not going to be able to do it. But if you're just open, those messages are all there. And you're not ever going to be alone. You're not ever going to be without direction, even when you feel confused. And by the way, those of you who love to be in your heads, and that's me too, but those of you who love to be in your heads, boy, when Mercury's sitting in water, you're just going, oh my God, you know, because things just seem so irrational and just not rationally connected. Well, they're not. You know, the messages, the link, you know, Mercury is also the links in our body, so to speak, and how we're communicating, you know, through ourselves and like, you know, just what's going on. And so things seem a little different when Mercury is in Pisces, and it's going to seem a little different to many of us when it's actually moving retrograde. But this is a great time to get into the intuition, you know, to go, this isn't a mistake. This is here for a reason. This is here for a purpose. Even if the ladybug wasn't there for me, and I'm still not sure if she was, although now after you say this, I go, yeah, I think she was. But, you know, it's there for a reason, even if you don't quite understand what it is. And maybe it's even just, I find sometimes the reason has more to do with what Anita was just saying, which is it's a reminder to me, it's an assurance that I'm surrounded by guidance. I'm surrounded by love. I'm surrounded by it. All I need to do is open up.
And there's, yes, absolutely. And there's just so much more unity happening. And one of the messages that we shared today, CA, is the fact that this is a really ripe time for magic and alchemy. And I feel your ladybug experience is just one small, not small, but one sign of what I was talking about there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. It was just really magic, like something, like two different worlds somehow collided or opened up, and somehow this ladybug came through in a snowstorm. It's so fun. Well, and I'm anxious to see if I'll see her again. Because I kind of wonder if she's hibernating, you know, if like I said, she went under the soil and down to the roots of the plant or something. So, or maybe she's just hiding out in the leaves. I don't know. You know, maybe I'll be making a salad and clip some of that off, and then I'll go, whoop, there's the ladybug.
Time will tell.
Yeah, hopefully
sure,
not. So. Well, Anita, thank you so much for joining us today. And before we close the show, do you have any announcements you'd like to make?
Just to let everyone know that they can find me available for readings at 1-2-LISTEN. And I'm offering a special right now called a heart-to-heart conversation. It's a time-based special and for 15 minutes. So folks can look that up and find out if, you know, if they're interested in doing a heart-to-heart on a specific issue or if they would like to communicate with a deceased loved one on the other side. I'm happy to connect with folks.
Okay, thank you for that. That sounds like a wonderful. And did you say it's a TBS, a time-based session?
Yes, it is.
Okay,
yeah,
great.
It is.
Great, that's wonderful. And I always have a variety of time-based sessions available as well. I'm thinking I'm calling them, like, jump into 2019 or something like that. I better go back and look. But in any case, for those of you who may not be familiar with them, time-based sessions are great because you not only know exactly how much time you have with the advisor, but it's also a way of getting your own personal sale. Because you can buy a flat rate. You can buy minutes, 30 minutes, 40 minutes, 60 minutes at a flat rate. And then you buy them and they sit in your account at 1-2-LISTEN and then you get to use them the next time you call that advisor. So it's kind of nice. You can buy them on sale oftentimes and then use them when you want. So when we're having sales, especially 12-day and full moons and, you know, everything else that we're doing, lots of exciting stuff going on this week for sure, then, you know, those are on sale and you can purchase them. And like I said, create your own sale anytime you want it. So everybody, thank you so much for joining us today. And I want to say a special thanks to the listeners and everybody in the chat room and to our producer, Scott Weaver, and also to our guest, Anita Ahuja. Thank you so much for being with me today.
Thank you, CA. It's been a real pleasure.
Okay. And I'm looking forward to those Jupiter going over the ascendant stories. February 23rd for you. Yep, yep. It's going to be good. We've got a lot of excitement coming on. So everybody stay tuned. Up next is Empowerment with Kelly Whetstone. And after her, Aubrey has moved her show from Fridays. And now it is on, I think, right after Kelly. So this is CA signing out. You have been listening to Simple Tales with my guest, Anita Ahuja, on 1-2 Radio, where we are changing the way you think about ladybugs.